Morning, family. Hope you've had a good week. There's quite a few away this week, I think, with half term, so glad you could be with us. Special welcome to any visitors. Special welcome to a special visitor. So, Jeff Andrews is with us today from Brixham. Jeff's the moderator. You're being pointed out literally there by David. But we'll be having a chat a little bit later, just get to know Jeff a little bit. There aren't really any notices this week, or rather the main notice is that there's no notices about meetings this week, because half term, the usual midweek activities are by and large not happening. But you can wait in anticipation of next week's notice about the week after's meetings. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege it is to be part of your family, to be family one with another. Thank you that we can meet in freedom this morning. Freedom in all sorts of ways. Freedom from authorities, but freedom because we're in Christ. Holy Spirit, we invite you to inhabit our praise this morning. Would you help us to give Father his worth in our worship today? In Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist is great at calling people to worship, isn't he? And perhaps nowhere greater than Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Some translations use the word praise. Bless, praise, it's the same thing. It's a call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then when you read the list of benefits, how could we forget them? How could we forget the benefit of the fact that he forgives all our iniquity? He heals all our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'd like some of that this morning. Isn't that wonderful? I like what the 16th century reformer John Calvin says about this psalm. He said, God is not deficient on his part in providing us with abundant reason for praising him. The reason why God deals with such liberality towards us is that we may be led to praise him. We may be led to praise him. That's what we're here for this morning. We're going to start with a song that was lifted directly from Psalm 103. Matt Redman wrote it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, also known as 10,000 Reasons. Thank you.
Sing like this.
I wonder if two or three would just like to lift Father's name, glorify the Lord as we've been led to in this worship time. I'm going to bring a microphone round if you do want to pray, just for the benefit of others. We try and mic you. Perhaps you put your hand up if you would like to pray.
Father, your name is holy. It is above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. And so, Lord, as we look out onto the world, you know, and we see this week in the news, Trump saying this and that and everything else, and, you know, conversations with, you know, with Russia and Ukraine and Zelensky, Putin, it can seem very intimidating. But Father, we know your name is above every name. And we pray, Lord, for our world leaders, that, Lord, they would recognize that you are the greatest, Lord. We thank you that some of them do know you. And we just pray that you would water those seeds, Lord. You know, we may think various things about Trump's faith or whatever, and I'll reserve my comments there, but, you know, and even J.D. Vance, people like that. But, Lord, we thank you that there are seeds, and we just pray you would water them, Lord, and that, you know, all creation cries, you are holy. The stars cry, you are holy. Everything testifies to your creative genius. And so, Lord, we just pray for humility in ourselves and in our political leaders, that you would be lifted high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise your name this morning. You're such a wonderful God, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-loving. You created everything good. Who are we that you should bend your ear to listen to us, Lord? But your word tells us that that's what you do. And we're so grateful. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for all the benefits you shower upon us day after day after day. And we pray that with the help of your Holy Spirit, our worship will be acceptable to you this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Father, at the beginning of worship, Psalm 103 said, "Bless the Lord." And that hymn said, "Down through every generation, you will be praised." Father, we just thank you that we can come into your throne room with our praise and worship, glorifying you. Father, we just thank you that you love when we sing to you, when we talk to you. Father, we just thank you. You are holy, holy, holy. Amen.
We carry on with that thought and take our next song, and we ask, who is there like you? Who else could give your life for me?
Who is there like you?
Please sit down. It's gem time. Gem time. If you were with us last week, you'll know what gems are about. Claire, could we pop the slide up there? Thank you. So we're looking at testimony, really. Why would we testify to God's goodness? Why would we take time as part of our worship? Well, it encourages us, doesn't it? Didn't you feel uplifted last week hearing that God is at work every day in our lives? It's uplifting. It's faith building. You know, when we see God working and answering prayer, it builds our faith individually and collectively. And it's God's goodness, or God's liberality, as John Calvin called it, as I read earlier. Ultimately, encouraging and building faith is fine, but really the reason we do this is to glorify Father. It's praising Him and glorifying Him that we do this for. So I'm sure God's been working in our lives this week. Anybody like to come and give a short testimony to God's goodness and declare it with a gem in the jar?
Well, God started off the week totally as unexpected as I expected the week to start, because on Monday I was going to be home alone, just sitting quietly, pondering, and I had a visit from my sister-in-law, which was unexpected. And then later on, my sister texted me and said, I'm coming up for a cuppa, so get the kettle ready. Two totally unexpected as of Sunday evening. So God started off the week really in a different manner, and I was very well pleased and very well blessed for their company, because it takes the mind off of other things. And then the other thing was, the doctor that I'd managed to see Friday before last, who was a very listening doctor, I think God sent me the right one, he phoned me on Wednesday and we had a little chat and also got two appointments booked in by him direct, which was absolutely amazing. And even on the phone, he still had the same listening, caring manner that he'd had the week before. So I'm well blessed with that one, and things are ongoing. And I'm here, and God is keeping me well enough to be here, and I feel so blessed for that. So I'm going to put two gems in, which is for the two reasons. And I feel just so immensely blessed.
Well, that's really, isn't it?
But how can I do anything
different? Double blessing. I saw another D.
Thank you. Have I been blessed this week? By Lou and Sue. I know that Sue's had on her heart for a long time that she'd like to lead you in worship. And I know that's been the desire of her heart. And it has to be from God, because you know Sue, she's a quiet little thing, and she sits and she just be Sue. So I was here on Friday, and the door was open, and Lou had taken Sue under her wing, and they were practicing. And it was just lovely to stand at the door and see my sister Lou with Sue, and they were just having a good time. And Lou was teaching her how to use the mic, and it was just a real blessing. So God is at work with us, and He's building up His church here. So thank you, Lord.
I'm not sure if this is for anybody here, but I've just had a picture which I need to share with you. It's a picture of a bird in a nest. A tiny bird, but is ready to fly. But it can't quite make its mind up. And it's just sitting on the edge of the nest, and its wings are fluttering, and it's trying really hard. Trying hard to fly, because that's what it was made for. And it's trying hard to fly. It's trying hard to fly. But I feel this morning I need to just say to somebody, I have no idea who it is, but God is saying, you can fly. You need to step out the nest and fly and do what I've called you to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
First of all, I've been blessed this week through everybody's prayers. There are many people praying for David and myself, and I'm sure that without your prayers, I wouldn't have been able to cope these coming weeks. I don't know how long the problem's going on for, but I do know that without your prayers and support, I wouldn't be able to carry on. I would get down, well, I do get down sometimes, but your prayers lift me up, and I know that you will continue to pray, and I do thank you, and it's been a real blessing to me. Thank you.
Weeks ago, my son was in hospital with sepsis, and obviously the situation was that obviously I wasn't able to get there, but I could commit it to the Lord. And although I was concerned, I just want to thank him that I wasn't anxious in that situation and that I knew his peace, and I just praise and thank him for that.
Last week, some of you may remember, I talked about God having given me an opportunity to share my faith and evangelize with a young girl that I was at college with. And he's really continued that opportunity. And she's been really remarkably open. And this is quite remarkable. This young lady... Possibly it's quite a good pairing, actually, because like me, she's very opinionated. So, she's quite staunchly, for example, feminist, pro a lot of ideologies that I think as Christians we're often inclined to think, not them again. And, I've been guilty of that. Okay, no, not that lot again. You know, lumping them all in one group. But yeah, she's actually really, really open, and the Lord is just opening doors. So I am really grateful for that, and I would appreciate prayers that, you know, that continues. Ellie continues to be open. And also just an encouragement that, you know, we often lump together people who maybe sort of have very, very strong, very, very strong feminist views or pro certain ideologies into one group, but actually they're each individual, they're each God's children, and they all need God's mercy so individually.
I don't know how I'm going to be able to say this, but over the last few weeks, God's been saying to me, you're going to be all right. And on Friday, he proved it. Because most of you know that I've got a major, major medical phobia. And I had to face the dentist on my own. And I did it, and I was all right. Yeah.
So many of you know that I've had quite a lot of health concerns lately. Anyway, Monday I had to go and have some blood tests done at the doctor's. Now, these were amazing. So my diabetes has completely been reversed. I'm now in normal sugar levels. Blood pressure is down in normal levels. And the weight loss medication is helping. Just great. It's all amazing. God's really helped the last few months. He's been there. And there's been situations at home. I don't know, some of you know about the situations with my daughter. But God has been there, and it's been so much better than I could ever imagine. The results are looking good. Not great, but better than I thought.
This is just an encouragement to particularly Sheila and Dee. Before I left home this morning, I thought, I didn't get a chance to put a gem in last week, God. What do you want me to share? And the encouragement I had this morning was that God has planted Mark and I in this church for a time, for us, for a long time before we left our old church. I would sometimes be in the singing group, but the guy who led the worship said to me, I really want you to take on service leading. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And actually, I never did. And since Mark and I have been here, I've been pushed so far out of my comfort zone, I can't tell you. I'd never played the piano in a service. I'd never led a service. I've never picked up a guitar in a service or played my flute for a long time. And I just think God is so good. I was that baby bird when we came here going, I just want to sit for a while, God, and not take any responsibility. And actually, you as a church family are such an encouragement to me, because every time I've been brave, somebody has come up and encouraged me, sometimes more than one person. And so my encouragement to you this morning was going to be, God has prepared some of you for such a time as this in an area of church service that you are not aware of. And our job is to have open hearts and hands and say, God, if there's something that you want to lead me into, equip me, help me to be confident, put the right people alongside me, because this is your church family. And then when Sheila shared, I couldn't help but share. So my thanks is that as a church family, you've encouraged me, and I have grown as a result. And there are others that just don't know quite where God's putting them in the body, but he will show you. And if he doesn't, then get somebody to pray with you and find what he wants you to do, because it's terrifying but exciting at the same time.
There's a bird thing going on this morning, isn't there? I don't know if you noticed the last verse in Psalm 103 that we read, because some of you have testified to this, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Renewed like the eagles. No flapping. What are we going to do now? We're going to take an offering. We're going to take up our offering. If you're not come prepared, that's fine. If you give in other ways, that's fine. But just let the bags pass by. Father God, we thank you for every blessing. As we've been thinking this morning, you are worthy of our praise because you are you, but because you pour love and blessing into every day of our lives. And we thank you for the opportunity small as it is, to give something of you and yours back to you for your works. We ask that you would bless these funds, that you'd put them to work in the ministry of this place and elsewhere, that you would be glorified and that Jesus would be known. Amen. It's time for, is it just Eric, to go out this morning? If there are children in hiding anywhere, it's now time to go out with, I think it's Angela today, is that right? Yes. Let's pray for them as they go. Father God, we thank you for your work in all aspects of our family life together, and we thank you for our children, for the youth in this place, and we ask that you would just bless their time this morning, that as they learn more about you, they would be built up in their faith too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeff, would you like to come up? You can hold on to that because I've got this. So this is Jeff. Jeff has become our moderator as of the 3rd of February, I think it was. Was it you met with the deacons?
Yes,
the first
I met with
time?
The deacons on the 3rd of February. That's right.
Good. Well, we wanted to get to know you a little bit this morning. And there's some really burning questions I know that everybody's got. They're not going to ask them. I'm going to do it on their behalf. But Indian or Italian cuisine?
Both, but...
Both. No preferences?
It depends on my mood.
Okay. What about tea or coffee?
I like tea for breakfast. Tea first thing in the morning. I like coffee for breakfast, tea at lunchtime, tea in the afternoon, and coffee after dinner.
Who knew it was so complicated? And lastly, most importantly, I think, milk or plain chocolate?
Oh, milk, yeah.
Milk chocolate.
I leave the plain to my wife.
But seriously, folks, so you're currently in fellowship and ministry in Brixham. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your life along the road in Brixham?
Yes, I came to Brixham really with a view to retirement. I was coming up to retirement age. My ministry started in 1981, which seems like an age away, doesn't it? I was a number of years in an inner city estate in Sheffield, and then I moved from there in 1989 down to North London, and I was in North London for 5 years, and then I became minister of Perry Rise Baptist Church in Forest Hill in Sydenham, and I was there for 17 years. I then became regional minister team leader for the London Baptist Association, so I was responsible for the 300 Baptist churches in London. That job came to an end, and I felt it was right to stop and to move on. And Brixham Baptist Church had some difficulties, there was the regional minister at the time, Jez Brown, was struggling to find somebody who might come along and help the interim minister there up to my retirement. And the story was that I was finishing London, and I said, well, I'll come down to the southwest. I needed to have a house in my retirement. I'll try and shorten this as best I can, and retire in a retired Baptist Ministers Housing Organisation. Well, they don't buy houses in London, for obvious reasons. So we came down here. My sister lives in Ipplepen, so this was a good place to come. So I said to Jez, look, I'm finishing as team leader in London. I need home and a job. And we met each other on the M4. But before that, he'd been to see a minister, and he was the minister. He said, I want to pray for you. And he said, I don't know what to do about Brixham. Mm-hmm. And I'd phoned him and left a message on his phone. So they prayed. He came up the hill. His phone came into signal, and there was me, and he knew that, and we just felt that was right, and the church felt it was right, and I was called, and I came down to Brixham and did what needed to be done there, and little job putting some wheels back on. I think I did that reasonably okay. Right. You have to ask them.
Obviously, Brixham and London, quite different. What were the main sort of contrasts that you've seen in terms of the ministry there?
Goodness. The biggest contrast, I was 17 years at Perry Rise Baptist Church. When I went there, it was an older white congregation. When I finished, it was 50-50 black and white. So multicultural was the big thing. So you asked me my preference. So we had Caribbean food, we had African food from Ghana or Nigeria, and alongside all the English stuff. Yeah. That was my experience in London, I probably missed that. I watched Songs of Praise to get a bit of a feel for that kind of thing. I mean, it's lovely being down here. My wife thinks it's the best thing in the world because I've dragged her as we've been from church to church. Through, we were in a city, Sheffield, we were North London and in a city. We worked in South London, which is a real mix. And to come down here and have all the beauty and all the stuff down here, it's wonderful. My wife, by the way, was a midwife, community midwife in London through those years. So,
excellent. Yeah. One last question. If you had one word of wisdom for the church family here at this time, what would it be?
I would actually say that the word of wisdom has come through, and it was through the Nest thing.
Yeah.
The job of a moderator is not to be the minister of a church. The job of a moderator is to walk with a church through a process of transition. Mm. And the important thing is that the church does the work. Mm. I don't get involved with the nuts and bolts. Yeah. I walk with the church, the leadership, and we walk together and see what is the Lord saying. I do come, with 40 years of experience and experience as a regional minister. And that is obviously important. But the important question is, what is God saying to you now? You know, you're already missing Stephen. Yeah. There's a big hole. But God hasn't gone. Yeah? God is with you. He has equipped you. And there are people here that God will lead into ministry. And that whole process of discovering your ministries, discovering what God is saying to you at this time, and then saying, what does that mean in terms of our future ministry, is the job that I have to do with you. But it's not a job that I do, it's the job that we walk together in. And out of that process, we hear what God is saying. You'll come up with, yes, God, you're calling a number of us to do particular roles that are not being done at the moment. And some of you will just find yourself blossoming in roles that are there, the giftings that God has given to you. And out of that will come openings, and you'll have a clearer picture of what ministry should look like in the future and as things go forward. So I think that would be the thing that I would say. And it's just, I thought, quite remarkable sitting at the back here, and this, you come out and just... the gifts that you've got, you shared your story about worship and that sort of thing. You know, I think that, that's ideal. That's exactly what I would want to say as a moderator. It's a strange word, isn't it? But that's my role. And I just pray that as we walk together, God will speak and you will experience a lot more gems in your pot.
Thank you very much. We look forward to walking with you as you walk with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take another song before Philip comes to speak and Jean reads to us. It's How Deep the Father's Love.
Thank you.
We've reached the last chapter of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, on page 1172 of the church. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Amen.
Let's pray for Philip. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak through word and spirit into our lives. Pray that you would just give us hearts and minds to receive and to be changed by your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I want to focus our thoughts as we come to the end of this series on Galatians, on Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And sometimes the Bible seems to say things that are obvious to us. The words of our text is one of those things. For instance, if I sow a row of parsnips, I don't expect to dig up a row of beetroot. Having sowed parsnips, I expect parsnips. And Paul here is challenging us all in a very clear way. We reap spiritually what we sow, and God sees all that. The first thing that we are reminded is we cannot make a fool of God. And we live in a society, I think, where many people just dismiss God. And in dismissing him, they're almost making a fool of him. but we cannot. God sees and God knows, and God knows all that happens. A teacher friend of mine was once marking the register. She'd filled it in, and when she looked, she'd filled in the wrong column. She'd filled it in for the next week. So she got some of that wonderful stuff correcting and went down the column until it had all disappeared. And the little boy standing next to her was waiting to take the register to the school secretary. And she said to him, "Well, that's all right. No one will know now." And he looked at her and said, "But God will know. He's seen it." And we forget that at our own peril. We make a big mistake if we think we have fooled everyone. Because God knows. He sees all we do. He knows all we think. And we can hide nothing from him. And really, that ought to, in some ways, be encouraging, and in some ways be frightening. Because he looks, he knows, and we have to come at times. I have to get a drink, excuse me. Pauline warned me and said, "You don't need to do that," but I do. And we can hide nothing from him. The second thing is, we deceive ourselves unless we realize that. We are foolish and think we can't deceive ourselves. But it is obvious at times we can. Whatever it is that is troubling us will keep troubling us and coming back to us. We can't think how God will know, because that makes no difference. It does. And we deceive ourselves and we struggle at times. And yet we have to be honest and open ourselves and our hearts to God. And God challenges us in the words of our text to sow in the field of the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of God, and we sow in his Spirit. But how can we possibly sow in the Spirit of God? Well, I believe there are at least three ways. And the first one is reading and knowing his word. Some of you, even though you're very good Baptists, will have heard of Donald English, who was a leading Methodist and used to speak at Cliff College and other places. And I remember he used to say, "If you think coming to church on a Sunday is sufficient, you're wrong. There are six other days, and you need to concentrate and look to God on those days." And so we have to ask a question. Do you have time each day for God? Do you have an appointment? Maybe first thing in the morning when you wake. It may be middle of the morning when you have your coffee, or even at the end of the day. But do you set time apart for God and his word? Because it's the only way we can grow. If we root ourselves in his word, and if we let that word dwell within us. And then, do you find time for prayer? to talk and listen. And it's important we have this time. If we miss it, and we do it regularly, we know it. Sometimes, and I'm sure Pauline and I are not the only ones who find ourselves, our days, so organized that we have to rush out to perhaps meet our daughter or do something. And if we've not found time for God before we go, the day somehow seems disorganized. We've started on our own and it doesn't work out. We need that time for God to pray, to talk, to listen. And sometimes it can be that he speaks to us in unexpected ways. A minister friend of mine had made his list for visits, and as he set off, he felt God was saying, "You need to go and see Mrs. So-and-so." But he said, "But God, I only went to see her yesterday afternoon." And he carried on, and this kept coming back to him. So in the end, he went to see her, and when she opened the door, she burst into tears and said, "I needed you so much, and I'd been praying that somehow God would let you know that I needed to see you." And we have a God who knows, excuse me, even in our moments of deepest needs, and he comes close to us. And then we need time to act on what he says. If God calls us to do something, then we must do it, just as that illustration showed of my ministerial friend. When you were a child, and some of us have to think back a long way now to when we were children, and our mothers told us to do something and you didn't do it, how did you feel? Especially if when you got home you were asked, "Did you do so and so?" Oh no, I forgot, I'm sorry. When will you learn? If I tell you you need to do something, you need to do it. And if we do, we can find that God challenges us. The crop we produce is determined by the seeds we sow and plant along the way. God's natural laws of cause and effect still affect us believers and unbelievers alike. And the challenge comes, and the challenge still comes. Are we listening to God's voice? Are we listening to his spirit? Do we have time for him? And do we do what he asks us to do? I wonder if we feel sometimes that perhaps when our parents asked us if we'd done something and we'd forgot. I wonder if God will ask us when we see him face to face, "Did you do? Why didn't you do?" And we are challenged by his word to act upon him. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And the question for all of us as we look at our lives is, what are we sowing? Are we listening to God? Are we doing as he says? Are we opening our lives in such a way that the seeds we sow are the seeds he gives us? Or are we thinking it doesn't matter that much? Paul was challenging the Galatians, and he was challenging them clearly that the God who serves us will not be mocked. He knows us. He knows all about us. Do we offer our lives anew to him? And so we come as God challenges us this morning. We want, O Lord, to walk with you, to sow the seeds you give us, that the mark in our lives may be the mark of God's Spirit leading us and guiding us. May we be open to his leading at all times and in all circumstances we face. Amen.
We're just going to take a couple of minutes to reflect in our hearts on the response to that word this morning. We started our service this morning singing about bless the Lord. We're going to finish as well. Charles Wesley's, I was going to say fantastic hymn, it is, Love Divine. The words that we will sing in that great hymn remind us, just as Matt Redman did, however many hundreds of years later, Wesley wrote, "Thee we would be always blessing. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Lost in wonder, love and praise." You know, our journey through Galatians, I think, has shown us, hasn't it, that this is our only response. This can only be our heart response to a loving Heavenly Father. We read, Jean read for us, Galatians 6:15, which in many ways summarizes Paul's message really simply. You remember, there's been the whole contention between law and God's love, faith and works. And in verse 15, we read, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. We're not finished works of creation, but we are new creations. If we know Christ, if we're putting our trust and faith in him this morning, we are new creations. If anything should stir us to praise him, to bless him, then surely that's it. Let's rise and take Love Divine as our final song.
Love Divine, O love, so sweet, joy of heaven, to earth bound down.
shall we say, the grace, but let's be very deliberate about doing it to each other. So turn and look at someone when you say it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have a great week.